Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
DSW semi-annual sale starts now. Twice a year, tons of deals going fast. It's all or nothing. A designer shoe warehouse will give you something to brag about. Like 40% off clearance in all DSW stores or an extra 10% off clearance at DSW.com. Don't sleep on these savings. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Well, these days it's cool to talk about the three true outcomes in baseball. Sadly, this year, one true outcome for the Red Sox is that when their ace is on the mound, they usually lose. And afterwards, said ace stands in front of the media and berates himself for being embarrassing or ineffective or several other descriptive words. Boston really needed a different outcome Thursday afternoon. And this, in the words of the Nappy Roots, this is going to be a good day. Top of the batting order, hotter than the sun. Bullpen, great work, and Sale back to being himself. No Nappy Roots music, just this from our friend Clyde Lawrence that tells you that now is time for Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Speaking of music, if you listen real close during the rest of this podcast, you may hear faintly in the background, right now it's Paul Simon. I believe this is late in the evening, if I remember my Paul Simon correctly. But I just landed at Dulles, getting ready to fight traffic and head up to Baltimore. Yes, I'm back on the broadcast for a week now, starting on Friday. Sorry about that, everybody. But anyway, my apologies for the background noise that may be picked up here. You don't always get to choose where you do a podcast. But here's what I was thinking about on the plane ride coming in, other than please stop hitting me with that cart, ma'am. Back on June 11th, the Sox were plodding along at 500, and since then they've gone 19-10, which sounds great, but they donated a couple games at Fenway to the Blue Jays right before the All-Star break, and one of the White Sox, all three of those on bullpen meltdowns. If you win those three games, you're actually 22-7 in that time, and you're in second place in the AL East, you're in possession of a wild card spot. So on a day where you're thinking, please, let's just make this one easy. Please let Chris Sale look like Chris Sale again. Please don't let the bullpen catch on fire. This was a great day at Fenway, a 5-0 whitewash of Toronto. Yes. So we note that last year when the Sox scored fewer than 5 runs, they were still a 500 team. Only team in baseball who could say that. This year, when they don't get 5 runs, they're 10-37. Only three teams are worse than that. So it's a case of the pitchers not helping out the hitters, plain and simple. Both sides helped the other out on this glorious Thursday afternoon. We'll get to the Chris Sale pitching performance in just a minute. But it was fun to look at the day game after night game lineup and think to yourself, man, even with no Pedroia, no Nunez, no Pierce, no Moreland, a day off for J.D. Martinez, you just know this team is going to score a bunch of runs. There is no top third of any batting order in baseball right now more in sync than Betts, Devers, Bogarts. Notably, there was no J.D. Martinez, Three for 26 since the All-Star break, although hitting in some real tough luck, which has been a J.D. Martinez staple all year. StatCast tracks batting averages on balls that are expected to be hits when they leave the bat. And of 189 qualified players, J.D. is 185th. Mookie, by the way, is 184th. So two guys on the precipice of free agency coming up pretty soon. What a killer time to have full seasons of rough luck. But with Mookie, he's getting on base at a personal best kind of clip, leads the league in runs scored by a dozen. This is a really good season. That's not an MVP kind of season, but when you score at least one run in 23 of 25 games, no one has any right to shoot you down. So this was a pitching matchup seemingly way in favor of the Red Sox. Perennial Cy Young contender Chris Sale against Cranston, Rhode Island's very own Thomas Pannone, rhymes with unknown. Sale, as you may be aware, rhymes with fail. And there's been a lot of that this year with the drinking straw-shaped left-hander. Quite famously, he had only three wins in his 19 starts, this despite some heavy-duty strikeout games, including a 14 and a 17. He didn't win either of those games. But of late, you were concerned. Sale getting hit at a 322 clip, allowing an OPS of nearly 1,000 in his past four starts. So everyone was ready for last year's version of Chris Sale, or 2017, or 2016, or 15, or 14 Chris Sale, just to get out of an Uber Thursday and show me 10 strikeouts. Well, he did that through four and a third innings, and really without a good fastball. He was sitting 91-92, not 96-97. He struck out the side to start the game, so that was a nice statement, kind of a blaring of trumpets that announced, "Lo, the king approaches." And from there, it was two strikeouts in the second and third and fourth. He had three more in the fifth, so it was 12 through five innings. Pitch counted 80, so no Roger Clemens run towards 20. But still, without the good fastball against a team averaging better than six runs a game against the Sox this year, fan-freaking-tastic from Sale. He ended up throwing 101 pitches, six innings, two hits, no runs, the 12 strikeouts, his first home win since last July 11th. Slider was on, so he didn't need the 96 or 97.
I just think it was overall command.
Here is Chris Sale.
I had a lot better feel for my changeup today. That's something that I really haven't had all year. I think, you know, I was able to actually use my changeup as an out pitch instead of more of just a show pitch. Obviously, this game's a little bit not easier, but easier if you have more pitches that you can throw at them.
You think you had all three pitches going today?
Yeah, and I think that's the key. You know, throughout the most of the year, it's just been fastball, slider, and my fastball command hasn't been there. So today was big for me on a command standpoint, and also, you know, being able to throw my changeup, you know, not only, you know, at, you know, late in the count, or I was able to throw it late in the count and use it as an out pitch.
The fastball was mostly 92, I think, until you reach back for like a 96 in the fifth inning. Is that a conscious decision to trade velocity for command early on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where I've been getting most of my problems is, when I'm trying to overthrow it, it flattens out and it obviously leaks back over the plate. So, I think overall in this game, you start to realize that it's more, you know, commanding the pitches and you know, working different tunnels of the strike zone. And I was able to do that today.
How do you think Devers has improved since he's been here?
He's really taken off. I mean, he's one of the best hitters in the game right now, I think. And it's amazing to see, too, because it's, you know, it's right-handed, you know, left-handed power guys, off-speed pitches. I mean, he's done it all. And then, you know, I think a lot of people are getting caught up in his offense. I think if you take a look at his defense, too, he's been unbelievable over there. I mean, he's made some plays that, are saving games, key plays in the game. And, he blew it open for us today. And, obviously glad he's a man in our post.
Given how things were going for you this year, you know, how were you approaching how determined were you approaching this fourth start against this Toronto lineup?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have one against a team like this. You know, I've basically been throwing primetime batting practice to them. So, to be able to do it against a team that, you know, has really had my number, you know, every time I've pitched against them, step in the right direction. I think, coming into this one, obviously we all know how it's been in the past, and you want to change that. And obviously I haven't really pitched well here at Fenway either, so there are a lot of things going into this. But throughout this past week, I was able to talk to some people and do some things and figure out what I need to do, within the strike zone and commanding the pitches that I need to command, and being able to throw, all my pitches at any given time instead of, just kind of picking and choosing when to do it.
First Fenway home win for you, as you kind of mentioned, here it is in July. That feel long overdue?
Yeah. Like I said, nobody else to blame but myself, but obviously glad to get this one out of the way, and now we can just focus on what's ahead and hopefully keep the ball rolling. And happy flight. Get on the plane and go down to Baltimore and start off on the right foot down there.
Well, there was no scoring in this game at all until the bottom of the fifth. And by the way, if you listen close, I believe this is Baby Come Back Now that is playing on the intercom. But it was Sam Travis doubling to the left field corner. Sandy Leon slammed the changeup for an RBI single in a left center. So it's the bottom of the order getting it done, thanks to the Chris Sale battery maiden personal catcher, Senor Leon. Then with a couple on, it was who else? It was Devers, who the Blue Jays, I'm sure, have had just about enough of. Toronto probably drove him to the airport to get him away from their ball club. Three-run home run to center against the Rhode Islander, Pannone. So in 16 starts against the Blue Jays this year, check that. It's only 15 starts for Devers, technically. 8 home runs, 28 runs batted in against Toronto. No Red Sox had ever had 25 RBIs against the Blue Jays in one season. Devers is at 28, and there are still 3 games to go against this outfit. For the season now, it's 19/73. And simply stated, Devers is one of the best hitters in baseball right now. Since May 1st, you've got Mike Trout and Xander Bogaerts as the only AL hitters with a higher OPS. And the power just seems effortless right now. It's like a flick of the wrist, and he's sending missiles from line to line. Guy went without a home run over his first 32 games. He's now proceeded to crank out 19 in his next 63. His biggest issue, I think, had always been pitch selection, just chasing stuff. But now opposing pitchers say you throw something that he chases, he's not going to do that again. He's learning. He's, he was a guy that just trusted his hands last year. Thought he could get really to any pitch because that's what he's always done coming up through the minors. But a .298 on base percentage last year showed him that's probably not a great strategy. Pitchers make adjustments quickly up here. And Devers is not as consumed with video as, say, J.D. Martinez is, but he does pay attention to scouting reports now and how to use them. Remember, Devers batted ninth in the order on April 23rd. Ninth. His OPS was .690 that day. It is close to .990 right now. So Devers with the home run to make it a 4-run fifth, and that was plenty. The final would be 5-0 when Mookie Betts hit his first home run of the entire month. Runs scored in a dozen straight games is not something we have seen since Nomar Garciaparra in the late 90s. And he's got a pace now towards 146 runs scored. Only Ted Williams has ever scored more than 140 in a season for Boston. Bogaerts had his 6th consecutive multi-hit game. I'm telling you, the top of the order right now has been insane. It's Bogaerts instead of Benintendi up there, but okay. You keep firing away this effectively with your upper third. You get some bonus now and again from your bottom third, like with Travis and Leon on Thursday. This is all going to work out fine. After the game, a little bit of Alex Cora for your fine, fine self.
Made some adjustments throughout the week and went out there and executed. They had a good game plan coming out. As you guys know, that's a team that throughout the season, they've been very tough against him. And he was great tonight.
What adjustments did he make?
That's Dana and Chris and Sandy and Chris and all the pitching department. It's just seemed like he had command of his pitches, all of them. The slider was a lot better today. Changeup play today, and then the fastball command was there. And it's one of those that he started from the get-go. You can see there was a difference on their swings. He kept rolling. Made a good pitch on Galvis with men on. You saw the fastball 96, I think it was 97 there. So, maintain his stuff throughout the game, and actually, it's like he commanded pretty good.
How about the Red Hot Devers?
Good swing right there, hunting fastballs early in the count. That's a good thing about him. It's not like when he's staying in the zone. He's not chasing pitches. Well, he did in the first at-bat, striking out on the slider, I think it was. But there, you know, got a pitch, fastball, middle, and was able to stay through it. Lefties, righties, it doesn't matter. He's been able to slow down the game in both ends, but at the plate, you know, there's a lot of confidence. You know, it feels like whenever he's at the plate, you feel like something great is going to happen, and that was a big swing for us today.
With Betts, you've talked about where you see the offense being over the last few weeks. How important is he as a catalyst to the offense, especially when you're seeing him take some of the swings he is from the first inning on?
I mean, we know how important he is. You know, he was the MVP last year, and he you know, one of the guys that carry the offense. And we've been saying all along, he's been disciplined throughout the season, and that's the most important thing, just kind of like fighting his swing. The early part, I found it a little bit, then, you know, fight it again. But today he crushed, and that ball hit to right center, he crushed that ball. Any other game, it's a home run any other day. And the line drive of the middle, obviously a home run left center. The walk was huge before Rafi got the home run. So he's in a good spot. He's in a good spot with his swing. You know, we never doubted him controlling the zone. We always talk about that, but now that his swing is where he wants it. He becomes that dangerous.
Nate obviously looked really good today. Is the plan to activate him tomorrow?
Not tomorrow. We'll see how he bounces back. He's actually flying with us to Baltimore. See how he feels tomorrow, and then we'll make a decision.
What are you looking for with Darwinson right now? He's in that spot. Are you trying to evaluate here and see if he can be more than just kind of a extra guy down there?
We just, you know, felt like the matches were good and we needed to close it out there. You know, he's getting used to it, to the bullpen thing. You saw the way he fell behind and attacked the hitters and attacked Gurriel. Grichuk first, he fell behind and was able to use that fastball. And same thing with Gurriel, good sliders to smoke. So he's getting used to it, and he's very important. Everybody is. You saw Walden today. You know, those two innings were huge for us, and I think everything starts, like I've been saying, the first six, seven innings for us. We do that, and everything will fall into place.
Obviously, you guys have struggled offensively with Chris on the mound through much of the year. Like, when the fifth inning is unfolding, was there a sense of kind of like, finally?
I mean, he was throwing the ball well. We were watching the pitch count, so it was good to see Sam getting on, right, you know, getting on, and Sandy put a good at bat, got the RBI, then Mookie. You know, it's great, you know. It's just you can actually, there's margin for error when you add on or you get that big swing, and it's good to see him win a game here or whatever that means. But the way he did it is the most gratifying thing. You know, he worked hard during the week, and we talk a lot, and he was able to execute.
Well, once again, 5-0 Red Sox to final, and now the road trip begins. Tampa Bay waits, but first, crab cakes and football. That's what Maryland does, and also baseball at beautiful Camden Yards, the first of the retro masterpiece ballparks, and still one of the best there is. One thing I've always liked about games at Camden Yards, it is the most likely ballpark to see a home run robbery. Fences are at 6 feet in left. They're at 8 feet in center. We saw a Jackie Bradley Jr. Spider-Man catch to save a game at this place back in May. Now, the Orioles have actually gone 7-7 their last 14 games, kind of ruining the tanking strategy. Oh, wait a minute. There's a page here at the airport. Hold on. Hold tight. Let's listen.
If you're flying in from Seattle on flight 2220.
Anybody in from Seattle?
JFK, New York on flight 5042.
Yeah, yeah.
Your luggage is coming up on carousel 4.
Oh, your luggage isn't going anywhere.
Please
come on. Let's not pretend. All right, so talking about Baltimore, a 500 record the last 2.5 weeks, it'd be nice if they got back to playing 250 like they're supposed to be doing. The 0-2-0-3 Tigers went 55-106, then 43-119. And then in 2006, they were in the World Series. The Astros in 2012 and 13 won 55 games a couple times. And then, obviously, they were quickly in the playoffs and in 2017 won the World Series. So don't give up, Orioles fans. It's coming. But this franchise is struggling big time. The pitching, which is usually legendary, not so legendary. I mean, this is the franchise that had the 4 20-game winners back in 1971. McNally, Dobson, Cuellar, and Palmer. Palmer, 19-year major league career, spent entirely in Baltimore. World Series shutout at age 20. Now one of their fine television announcers with the great Gary Thorne. And after that run, they had the late Mike Flanagan. They had the curveballing Steve Stone. You sprint ahead 15 years after that. They had a guy going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, Mike Mussina. Obviously remembered more as a Yankee than as an Oriole by Red Sox fans, but he was an Oriole for a while out of Stanford. Our buddy Kevin Millar, never impressed by Moose. Millar, a career 400 hitter against Mike Mussina. Just wanted to work that nugget in there from out of nowhere. You're welcome. This year's Oriole pitchers, well, they do have John Means, who will go Friday against fellow lefty David Price. Price, a number one overall pick, Means quite a different route. 11th round pick, was a skinny, no-name junior college kid from the state of Kansas. And of all the players at the All-Star game in Cleveland, this guy was by far the most unlikely. 26-year-old rookie had never been to a minor league All-Star game. He had barely made the Orioles' worst team in baseball out of spring training. He ended up as the first Oriole rookie in the All-Star game since 1966. And this is a guy who literally was making himself a LinkedIn page in the offseason looking for work as a teacher, just ready to hang things up. But lo and behold, you got the smash mouth. It's in, hey, now you're a you-know-what. So you can take down your LinkedIn profile. Go match up against Price Friday night. Means is a guy they will use to build with, but everybody else, let's say you figure they're going to be active at the trade deadline next week. Whatever they can get for whoever they have sounds like a pretty decent idea. And you know what's weird? The Orioles have never made a trade with the Nationals. I guess there's too much bad blood and proximity and whatever else, but man, the Nats are this close to doing something and the Orioles are trying to get rid of whatever they have. You'd think the cooler heads might prevail in the next few days, but we shall see.
Hey, be quiet.
Thank you. Claim number one, my butt. Where was I? Oh, so you'd think one of these years an Orioles top prospect would really get to full bloom. Baseball America's Oriole top prospects this decade. Let's see. You got 2018 was Austin Hayes. There was Chance Cisco before that, the catcher. Dylan Bundy for several years before that. You'd have to go back to Manny Machado, an easy choice in 2011 to find a time their supposed big gun was actually loaded up with ammunition. So it's an interesting time to get the Orioles here. And we mentioned Friday night, it's going to be Means with a 2.94 ERA against Dennis Eckersley hater David Price. Price 7-2, 3.16 ERA. Certainly not a bad season at all. Saturday, it's going to be a couple righties. The struggling Rick Porcello against Tom Eshelman. Sunday is Andrew Cashner's grand return to Camden Yards against the guy who replaced him in the Baltimore rotation, the impossible to spell Asher Wojciechowski. By the way, Nate Eovaldi should be good to go this weekend. This bullpen experiment, long rumored, should finally get underway. He threw 19 pitches. They were all supposedly very good pitches at Pawtucket on Thursday morning. Okay, next podcast, Sunday into Monday, to recap the Baltimore series. I know we call it Sox Daily, but by that we mean weekdays. New podcasts every Monday through Friday morning. So this right here is your Friday morning podcast, and we hope you've enjoyed it from Dulles Airport. This is Josh Lewin reminding you to, have your pet spayed or neutered. And don't throw stones at glass houses. And don't send pictures of your private parts to strangers. I know Bob Barker never said that on Price is Right, but he probably should have. This has been a public service announcement. I'm Josh Lewin. Go Sox. See ya.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.